Hello and welcome to Learn With Us. This is episode 37. This is Nikos, your host. Today we have a Google employee, Grant Timmerman. How are you doing today?
Hey, this is Grant.
Cool.
Doing pretty well.
Where are you calling from today?
I'm actually in Santiago, Chile.
Chile, right.
Google office here.
Mm-hmm. Is that an office there for Google?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a two-story office here in downtown Chile, or downtown Santiago. And I'm working here for the month.
Oh, nice. And where are you normally based?
I'm normally based in San Francisco, California.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So I see you were an intern at Google a few years ago, and then you got a job with them kind of more recently.
Yeah. So back in 2015, I interned in Mountain View, California, and I worked on Android Studio. So at the time, Android Studio is fairly new, and I worked on a project called custom linting rules. There are a lot of submissions to the Play Store where there are more trivial errors like outdated scopes and outdated manifests. And it turned out that a lot of these errors, rather than having to submit your app to the Play Store and get it rejected, after a couple of weeks, you could just automatically check your manifests and your code to detect if the applications were out of date. So I created a little linter. It's actually still used today.
Really? So that's a Java-based linter, I imagine.
Yeah. So it's a Java like extension for Android Studio, and it's open source. And it was my intern project for the 3 months I was there.
All right. So was that a kind of if-else-based program, or was it some kind of AST system that did that linting?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. So it parsed your manifest file and detected if there were like some outdated like scopes and outdated best practices, and it would also not just like give a red squiggly underneath, but I also provided suggestions like use the latest scope or the latest tags.
Right.
Too.
And was it quite competitive to get that position?
Getting an internship at Google, yeah, it's not a minor feat. I worked at LinkedIn for a summer before that, and then Tableau Software. So it was a journey to get a Google internship. But yeah, it's really fun when you get there. You go your first week in Mountain View and you get your little propeller hat, and you're with like 500 other students or so. Every week there's a whole new batch. But yeah, it's quite amazing, those 12 weeks.
Was it more difficult to get the actual job at Google after, or not as difficult?
I think it was probably hardest to get the internship first.
Yeah.
And get your way in.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're there, you have to provide your mentor gives you, your host gives you a project to work on that's scoped within like the 12 or 14 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you do that, I had an intern presentation the last week. And so you show off what you worked on. If your project goes well, then you get to, so I was in developer relations, which we try to help developers get started with integrating with Google, Google APIs, or building Android apps.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was on Android DevRel, and so I was trying to make the getting started experience with building Android apps a lot easier. And so, yeah, the goal of the internship is where you can have something that you can put out in production,
mm-hmm.
And you can get, it's not just some small project that be cast aside. It's actually going to be used by real developers around the world. So I was pretty lucky where I had a great host, Claudio and Nagesh, and there's a real problem where all these developers were submitting applications that failed the Play review store, and it was able to get it out into production during the last week. So, and it's still used today, which is pretty awesome.
Oh, it's such a great feeling to have people use your stuff, and even better feeling when developers are using it.
Yeah, it definitely provides meaning.
Yeah, the backlight came to flame with something like that. It's something that it's an open source project called Test Recorder, and it basically generates end-to-end tests. Unfortunately, it's kind of got a bit dusty because I haven't really had the time to maintain it as much, and there's a lot of open software projects goes, but it has about 250 users, and eventually I want to get around to start, you know, making it better. So we'll see about that. So anyway, the reason that I kind of met Grant was because I've basically been pestering his team on Google GitHub with the functions framework. So what the functions framework does is a sort of replacement for an emulation system that Google had for their Google Cloud. And Google Cloud Functions is something that I'm using a little bit for. It's basically similar to AWS Lambda and maybe Azure Functions. But the Functions framework is a sort of local emulation of you know, functions. And that's and Grant is, you're the, I think, one of the main contributors to the Node.js version of that. So how did you manage to get into that project?
Yeah, so back in January, I switched from working on G Suite and AppScript, which AppScript is sort of G Suite's JavaScript language to extend Google Sheets and Google Slides with add-ons.
Mm-hmm.
Started working on Google Cloud. And so we had a lot of developer feedback where we had this Google Cloud Functions emulator, and it was the best way to be able to test your code locally and ensure that things work correctly, and you can iterate really quickly within, I guess, a second of writing your code,
mm-hmm.
test it locally, and then you could deploy it to Google Cloud Functions or to Firebase Functions.
Mm-hmm.
And that emulator was written in for Node 6, and it was an emulator. It wasn't the actual core product of the runtime.
I see.
Google Cloud Functions. And so it just mocked exactly what your code would theoretically run when you actually deployed it using the gcloud CLI or using the online editor for Google Cloud Functions.
Okay.
And so the functions framework, it's more of a strategic move and also provides a lot of benefits. It's an underlying package currently out for Node functions that is the underlying base. It's the framework that powers all Google Cloud Functions that's deployed with Node 10. So it's not emulating anything. It's if you use gcloud today, or if you deploy via the online editor, you're deploying to Google's backend, which then will explicitly install the functions framework and use that to deploy and run your code. So like any changes to the functions framework actually changes your core runtime. So it makes it a really powerful tool where it has a couple of benefits. One is, first, you know exactly what your functions are doing or running, how they're being invoked. Second, you can, it provides portability of your functions. So let's say that you, maybe you really love Google Cloud Functions, but you need to consume some event with AWS or Azure. Well, you can simply just write your NPM package. You can deploy it on with the functions framework. Maybe you can create a Docker file and just create a Docker image for your function. You can deploy that function now to Google Cloud Run, which is our new product for running containers. You can deploy it to other clouds as well. So if you want to package with the functions framework to Amazon or to Azure or to Alibaba Cloud, wherever you'd like.
So I guess deploying on Google Cloud Run could be cheaper for warm vacations than Cloud Functions up to a certain point.
Yeah. In fact, I have a blog post about exactly how you deploy Google Cloud Functions to Cloud Run. And so, for example, Node 12 is a runtime that's it's currently in development. It's not quite stable, but it provides things like private methods and better class support. And so if you want to use Node 12, right now you don't have the option to use Google Cloud Functions. But with Cloud Run and the Functions framework, you can simply use package with the Functions framework, your function code, get this lightweight wrapper, the Functions framework, and you can deploy onto Cloud Run, which supports any type of runtime.
Yeah. But the thing is, with Google Cloud Functions, you're getting some sort of free analytics out of the box. Is that kind of, doesn't really work the same with Cloud Run, I'd imagine.
Yeah, so with Cloud Functions, you get some analytics out of the box.
Yeah.
You have different types of triggers. There's different sets of regions, for example, for the different products. But yeah, I guess there are trade-offs.
Yeah. So in the Google Cloud Functions, is the underlying base per one Cloud Function an instance of the Functions framework?
Yeah. So whenever you deploy your function, you sort of have two options. So this is just for Node 10 functions, and will be for Node 12 in future runtimes. But you can either not declare the functions framework as a dependency, where your function, when you deploy it, it'll automatically be wrapped in this functions framework. And it'll always be used. Or you can also explicitly pin down your functions framework, saying, hey, I want this exact Semver version, so you know exactly what code you're running in production. It's really trying to increase transparency and allow you to control what code is deployed.
Yeah, I really like the idea of portability. I used to use the serverless framework for deploying my AWS Lambda functions because I didn't like using the Google Cloud CLI or the online console. But when I discovered that with Google Cloud Functions, I don't have to use a serverless framework because then just depending on a third-party host. But I found the Google CLI very easy to understand. And also, I just found the Google Cloud website more developer friendly as well. You know, there's some more guides on how to just, you can put everything under a project, play around and delete it and not worry about having to be billed. You do that with AWS, you lose track of all your resources and then you end up getting billed 2-3 years for stuff you just can't be bothered to delete, you know.
I haven't played a whole lot with Amazon, but yeah, I definitely like how we provide a whole host of examples that are on GitHub. And we do try to read all the feedback that developers send us on GitHub or with the feedback button on cloud.google.com.
At the moment, I'm learning quite a lot about Google Cloud Functions from the real world Google Cloud Functions data store repro that's on the, have you heard of Real World? It's like a bigger version of Todo MVC.
Okay.
And so there's Todo MVC, basically all the frameworks are written for that, you know, to show up. There's also there's one called Real World, where it has like a fully like user registration application. People go on there and create blog posts, and it's written in all sorts of combinations of front end and back end technologies. So at the moment, I'm kind of learning how to do all the user authentication registration with the Google Cloud one, but it's kind of not maintained as well because it's written by one guy. So I'm hoping that Google would maybe provide a sort of best practices application using, you know, Google Cloud Functions and stuff like that. But we'll see.
Yeah, happy to look at it.
Yeah. So I was going to say. So I looked at the source code for Functions framework, and I'm surprised at how lightweight it seems.
Yeah, it's really just maybe a file or two.
Yeah.
But it's really been the Google Cloud Functions team and the runtimes team is really strict about like what we want to add to this framework and what we want to sort of be the contract for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to keep it as minimal but still powerful as possible. And eventually the goal would be to be able to have any developer create their own functions framework that adheres to the same specification that Google provides, so that your function like code can be run in any type of environment.
Mm-hmm.
With Knative, Knative has a Knative serving contract, and that provides some standards of what type of environment variables any compliant Knative serving framework should adhere to.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to be, I guess, Knative serving compliant as well.
I read about Knative, but I can't remember what it actually is. Maybe you could remind me.
Yeah. Knative, I'm not the best one to answer this, but it's basically a platform built off of Kubernetes that allows you to build, deploy, and manage a whole host of workloads.
Okay.
Sounds
good. I don't even know much about Kubernetes. I just know that it's something powerful that people that use DevOps know a lot about.
Yeah, I'm not the most familiar with Kubernetes. I'm more of an application developer, and so I can tell you exactly why undefined is not a function or why your TypeScript will fail to compile.
Yeah, so I looked at the source code, the functions framework and Google Cloud Functions, the interface or the developer API contract, whatever you want to call it, it seems very like Express.
it coming in.
It feels a lot like Express. Yeah.
Yeah. So, right now, if you deploy Google Cloud Functions, we use Express 4 in the background as our basically the base. Base module that's serving your web requests.
Mm-hmm.
But we've gotten feature requests like, why don't we support Koa or why don't we support Happy? There's all sorts of node modules, as you know. We've found that Express satisfies a lot of developers. You're also able to use Express middleware like Express routing and Express like cookie handling, things like that. But the goal of the functions framework is to be agnostic of really any type of library.
That's nice. For me as a developer, it's important to have something that can be reused, because anyone who's been a developer over 10 years has probably been burnt out already with, you know, having to write proprietary codes and hooks for cloud services and then having to relearn it. So I think what Google's doing here is good for us as developers. So
yeah, it's part of, Google is committed to open source, and this is just the start of one of the open source projects that I think will be very important in the future for a function like developers.
Yeah. Hopefully even, it'd be nice to see a collaboration, Microsoft, Amazon or something like that, but that's probably wishful thinking. So you say that Express is like Express 4 is the base. What does the functions framework provide on top of that?
Yeah. So that's a good question. So there's a couple things. One is with the functions framework, you support cloud events. So cloud events is a specification from the Cloud Native Compute Foundation to have a universal way to export and import any type of event. So it could be with Google, it could be PubSub, it can be just an HTTP trigger, it can be a cloud scheduler event. But functions framework provides a way to listen to that event, be able to handle it, parse any of the headers that's responsible for that event, be able to handle things like retries, and then invoke your function with respect to that event.
Cool.
So there's event handling, there's some quick ways of setting your function target, your function signature, and your port. That's Knative compliant. For example, we use the same port variable as with the Knative serving spec. You're right in terms of it's quite lightweight in terms of the actual source code. You can read it in probably 10 minutes. If the functions framework is meant to be a lightweight wrapper over your code, that can really, that's standardized. So you can deploy it across Cloud Run, Cloud Functions, Cloud Run on DKE, your Knative environment, other clouds, etc.
Yeah, this is a really, really cool project. One of the most exciting ones I've seen. I almost one is actually, because it's so lightweight, I actually feel like learning how the source code works, and even I'm going to probably make some YouTube videos trying to explain how to use it. Sometimes I even just make YouTube videos just so that I remember what I learned, you know. I find it's a good way to pin my memory in something.
For JavaScript, like y'all say, I mean, why even have a functions framework? You could argue that. But when you get into other runtimes, like let's say we want to support Google Cloud Functions for R, or we want to support like Java, then it's really important to have a baseline of which type of environment variables you support, and exactly how you, like who does the unmarshalling of cloud events, and what does that look like? And like, how do you deploy using Docker to whichever cloud you want? I think all these things are really important to get right and to get in a standard format, so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel, or we don't have to create hacks to have your code running for the next 10, 20 years. Just write once and it should run forever.
Yeah, I really like how you can, when you deploy, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you deploy Google Functions, you can sort of, for that one deployment, you can specify environment variables that are then, they're there on the platform, and you can go in there, look at the environment variables and see it's something, some string, and then that can be used for, you know, database queries and things like that.
So you can specify we have a Google Cloud Functions API, which is, most people just use it directly with the CLI, and can specify environment variables either just through a flag, or you can specify a file name.
Yeah.
And say like, just look at this file and there'll all be 50 environment variables. Mm-hmm. This will then be uploaded to the Google Cloud Console and you can see them there. You don't have to like have it directly in your source code.
Yeah.
Which is really good for like API keys.
Good for developers, bad for hackers, right?
Yeah.
I once uploaded a private key to GitHub and I got an email from GitHub like, you've basically that key, do something about it, right? So I was like quite happy about that. I basically uploaded a Mailgun private key, but you know, nobody had used it, so I'm always not important enough.
Oh, yeah.
Scanning my commits.
I think, yeah, we've all like done. I'll say that, yeah, I've uploaded private keys by accident. And you just have to make sure you revoke them. I've also been on videos where like I'll realize, oh, I showed my API key for the Coinbase API, for example. And that was in like the video. But then I just had contacted the video editor to make sure that little section was covered in white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
You can also use, so a lot of developers have questions about, you know, how do you secure your cloud functions? Well, so for things like API keys, yeah, you can use the environment variables. You can also use Google KMS, Key Management Store, and that's a like a basically an API to programmatically request for API keys.
I see.
And those are probably the two best ways.
Cool. Okay, Grant. So can you let us know anything that's upcoming in the functions framework? Or I guess that's probably proprietary right now.
One of the things, so I've written a couple of blog posts about the functions framework. I'm sure I'll link them.
Yeah, I'll leave them in the show notes.
In the description. Some things are deploying to Node 12. If you want to use 12 features like private members and classes and special classes. There's also, express routing, which you can do. In terms of feature things for the functions framework, where I'm actively trying to make it easier for developers to build your own functions framework.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be actually the goal. So let's say, Nikos, you really love R or something,
mm-hmm.
and you'd like to be able to deploy R functions on Google and enjoy the benefits of having your code being hosted on Google Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the functions framework contract, we're trying to make it really easy for anybody to develop this really lightweight functions framework.
I see.
And so, in fact, if anybody listening to this podcast is interested in building a new runtime, like deploying Ruby to Google Cloud Functions, well, the first step to get that going is to create a functions framework. And so I would love it to see, the community work with Googlers, and we can both build this together. For example, we would use like Sinatra, and we would make sure that the Sinatra functions framework gem complies with the functions framework spec. And then we could have some instructions on how to deploy it to Cloud Run. And then eventually maybe we could have it be a drop-down option than Google Cloud Functions.
Yeah, that would be...
So I just wanted to point that out there as like, that would be the ideal way for any developer out there to be able to help contribute to the functions framework effort.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to join too.
That's a really cool job you've got there. To it must be so much fun working at Google, man.
Yeah, we're on a mission to make it easier for developers to run and deploy your code to scale to millions of users, and it's really awesome to be able to write blog posts, give talks, do podcasts like these to spread the word.
Yeah, I think quite a senior guy at Google once asked me if I wanted to get involved in the interview process for some kind of developer relations thing. But I've heard some stories about the Google interview process, and I'm not sure if I want to go through that. You know, my 30s, maybe too old for that.
Yeah, no, it's never too late. It starts with, a passion. Like for me, in college, I always worked on GitHub, and you can go browse my GitHub history and see all these hackathon projects that I worked on. And then I realized, well, you can actually work for companies that really value open source.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like I'm very lucky where I can be able to work on things that doesn't cost money to buy software.
Yeah, but getting paid to do open source is like...
To get paid for it.
I'm doing open source, but I'm not getting paid for it right now. So, that's living the dream, man.
Yeah.
And you're still really young. I think you're in your 20s, aren't you? So.
Yeah. Still got a ways. Still trying to build up a brand. And I want to create YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure exactly what I'd be talking about there, but be interested in collaborating with anybody.
Well, I've got a YouTube channel, so if you want to do a collaboration video sometime,
we
can certainly do that, and then I can point people your way. I've got a few videos on Google Cloud myself. I'm almost at 400 subscribers, and things are starting to grow more quick now. in the last month. It's been a really hard, slow slog the last 3 years I've been on there, but I think once you get closer to 1,000 or 500, things can get better. But I can certainly give you some tips
on that. Yeah. There's a Google developer expert, Martin, who he has a podcast on, or a developer series on Google Apps Script and G Suite.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been on a podcast or a developer video with him. I'm not sure exactly what the traction is, but he creates some pretty good content to get for anybody that's interested in G Suite and Google APIs.
Yeah, G Suite managed to help me quite a lot. I was helping somebody with a presentation, and the computer didn't have a license for PowerPoint installed. So what I'd done was I didn't even have Wi-Fi in a building, so I basically got his PowerPoint and fired up Google Suite and converted it and ran it on Google Slides, and so and that was it was actually a church service, believe it or not, but came to the rescue there. So.
Yeah, it's free. It's online. In fact, I just I use Google Slides whenever I want to create a blog post image. I don't have Photoshop or like other image editing tools, mm-hmm. so I just use Google Slides and just create shapes. You can arrange them. You can scale them as you wish. Get version tracking.
Oh, it's Danny, try it out.
Yeah.
I use PhotoP, which is PhotoP is absolutely amazing. It's basically an online Photoshop, and it's free, and it can download and export PSD files, and it has 90% of the functionality that I used when I used to have a Photoshop license, and then I switched to Mac and it didn't work anymore, so and then I just didn't want to pay Google Cloud. I mean, sorry, Adobe Cloud, so Adobe... Yeah. You messed me around there, Adobe. Seriously, I spent about £1,400 on Adobe Web Premium back in the day, and then I couldn't use it when I switched to a Mac. So.
Yeah.
I enjoy using the PSD rip-off site. So. Okay, well, it's been really interesting having you on. Anything you'd like to add to us developers out here, or anything any of your plans for the future and yourself personally? Whatever you want.
I would just love if any developers have any feedback or if you're interested in deploying Ruby functions on Google Cloud Functions, or you really want to use Google Cloud Functions but it's missing this one event type or this one feature. I would really love if you filed a GitHub issue on the Google Cloud Functions framework for Node. Yeah. And I read them all, and the feedback is really important to us. And I mean, perhaps I can create a blog post or get the engineering team to prioritize it. Just love to hear your feedback.
Cool. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how to... I opened an issue up in GitHub. I can't remember what it was. It's to have, because basically it's to do with Node Forever. I'm trying to get a Node process running forever, so I don't have to restart each time. But I'm still having to do research on that. It was nothing to do with Functions framework though. But yeah, if you go to the GitHub repo, you can see a lot of my issues up there, asking rather obvious questions. But embarrassed to say though.
Yeah. No. I think all questions are fair questions. Yeah. For the like retry, I think, for Google I/O, I created a sample that uses TypeScript plus I believe infinite retrying. It like watches your TypeScript, and so like you don't have to restart your server, which is one of the biggest problems that I had personally when I'm just trying out the Functions framework. You don't want to restart the server every time you change your code.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And so we'll add a link to that repo. And yeah, feel free to add issues or comments there too.
Yeah. You can go on there and you can see my obvious questions and then me trying to basically I'll post some links to my YouTube videos on there as well. But I know that's all going to be SEO, any questions there. So when I do ask questions, I try and make it so that it's future-proof, you know, people that can don't have to ask the same question twice, because sometimes these things can all get lost in Discord and Slack.
Yeah. Some of the questions are trying to discern, well, there's some like generic node questions, like retrying a server that's sort of generic.
Yeah.
Like not exactly like the functions framework isn't really doing anything special compared to the Express framework with respect to that. I think, but just in general, like more documentation on how to use, for example, multiple functions or like exactly how to deploy to other clouds.
Yeah, I managed
that's all good.
I think we managed to get around the multiple functions running under one functions framework just by using a sort of router. And so you've just got one index file that's exposed to the functions framework, and then that can be used. So when you deploy it onto Google Cloud Functions, you might have in your routes about 10 other ones, but it looks like it was one cloud function up there.
I think that's an effective way.
Yeah. All right, Grant, thanks very much for coming on, my first actual Google employee, I think.
Yeah.
It's quite an honor to have people on my show.
Happy to be here,
Nikos. Yeah. So thanks very much for coming on, and we'll definitely be in touch in the future, and I'll be using the functions framework.
Yeah, looking forward to your feedback.
Thanks.
In touch.
All right, thanks everybody for coming to learn with us. This is Nikos and Grant, and we'll see you again shortly. Bye-bye.